song tonight by Rob and Sharon, and certainly we do owe it all to the Lord for everything that we have to be thankful for. It's because of Him. There's nothing that we've ever had need of that it's not the Lord that has provided for us, and we thank Him for all of His many wonderful blessings upon each and every one of us tonight. And I know that even in this day which we live in, when many people try to take credit for what's been good in their life, their accomplishments, you and I can look at it and say, it's bound to be the Lord. It's bound to be the Lord that blessed them so this evening. In the book of Romans, in the 6th chapters, we'll be reading from tonight, asking that you pray for us for a few minutes of time. As we said earlier, I know it's been a long day, and I don't want to do anything except the Lord be in it. And so we ask that you pray for us and that we would be able to just give you a word. God would move in the Spirit and encourage us that we might be able to go out tomorrow and be a better Christian than what we was yesterday. Because how many of you like me, we're saved by grace, but there's a sanctification process that takes place. How many of you know that we're still learning on how to be a Christian? God's still working on us, if I can put it like that, to make us what He would have us to be. And it's a continuing process that sometimes I think the Lord must think, well, I'm finally making some progress with this one. And then we slip up. And it's like we're right back to square one all over again. And how upset and dissatisfied the Lord must be with us in those situations. But in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, if you like to stand for the reading of God's word, let me start at verse 12 tonight, and you pray this evening. He says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you." Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
"Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. But what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." And then reading verse 17, he says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." And stop reading there, that 18th verse, and you can be seated in tonight. And I like to use from this where he says, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? You know, so many times folks think that because we're Baptists that we just have a license to sin, because we do believe in eternal salvation of the soul. I believe it with all my heart. Once saved, always saved. Amen. That there's nowhere in the Bible do I find that Christ had to die all over again because we sinned and we needed another Savior. There's only been one. And He paid the price for all of us. And even in saving us, He knew that we was going to have opportunity to fall short. He knew that there'd be days that we would let Him down. He knew that there'd be days that we would sin. But He saved us anyway by His marvelous grace. Here, the writer is, Paul is telling the church, to the Roman folks, he's telling them that we should not allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies, that we should obey it in the lust thereof. If we could get God's people to realize that we have control over our actions. Somebody can say amen. We have control over our actions, to what we do and what we do not do. We are no longer the servants of Satan. And this message tonight is one that would help us all, if we would remember that when Satan comes and he brings up the sin. He brings up the things that would cause us to sin, that we have to remind Him that we are no longer, He is no longer our boss, but we are kept by a higher power. And oftentimes, if we as God's people could just walk away from the things that Satan is offering us, we'd find ourselves in much better shape than to stand and listen to him. Anybody else ever argue with the devil? You might as well say amen. That he'll come and he'll try his best to offer us something and try to make it look so good, but we know what the end result is there. He says that the end result is if we obey Satan and we work with Satan, that it will be a sin unto death. That he is trying his best to take and move us out of this life and take us away, because if you notice that if Satan can't stop us from, once God has saved us from going to heaven, one thing he can't do is he can start reducing the number of true born again Christians that there are in this world. And before you know it, he will rule not just the underworld, but he will also rule the church, because there's no longer anybody there that's been saved by God's grace. It's just a bunch that's going through the image and the practice of what church is supposed to be about. And I'm not all about programs, and I'm not all about people looking at us and saying, so that's what it's meant by. I believe that we ought to just show up and let God tell us what we need to do. When people stand up and sing a song because God laid upon their heart. When people testify and share with us the good news, many folks would say that Rob's cousin, if I got it right, just happened to go to the right doctor. I say, amen. But it's not the one that we give the credit to, but it's God himself that made it all possible. And we got folks all the way around us here, church, that have been blessed by God. And I was reading today in the book of Matthew, it talks about how that when the master, the man that owned the field, would go out and have the seeds planted. And you Bible readers know this story, that once the crops came up, there was some things that was coming up in that crop that he did not plant. And it's because after the crop was planted, the enemy snuck in and began to plant the tares amongst the wheat. And that's the way the devil works. He doesn't care what we do. He'll try his best to tear it down with something that he has got planted in our lives as well. Let me get back to this tonight. He said that we ought not let sin, therefore, reign in our mortal bodies, that we should obey it in the lust thereof. I've said it many a times in our years that I've seen folks and heard of folks even just this week, that people that just cannot control the invitation that the devil has given to them to go out and enjoy the things of this life that he has for his people today. Whenever we allow ourselves to get caught up listening to the devil and allowing him to put those thoughts, those seeds in our mind, what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up for shipwreck. We're setting ourselves up to get in trouble because we've listened to him way too long. I have found, Billy, the best thing to do with the devil when he shows up is to walk away from him. Get away from him. And people say, well, I've tried to get away from him, preacher, but I just cannot find a place where I can get away, because wherever I go, he's there also. In order to get away from the devil, what you've got to do is start thinking about the good things that God has done for you. Start singing a verse of a good old song that has blessed you on Sunday. Sing that on Monday, and the devil will get away from you. Start reciting the Word of God, and the devil will have to flee. Does not the Bible say, at the name of Jesus, the devil, even the demons, have to flee today? Because they cannot stand where there is power, and there's power in the name of Jesus Christ if we will exercise it. Tonight, as children of God, I want to encourage all of us that when the devil comes against us and telling us that we won't lose our place, he knows the word, amen? He knows what it talks about. He knows God's salvation plan. And he'll tell us that we won't lose our salvation, we won't lose our home in heaven, but what he won't tell you is what you will lose while you're on this side of the river. He will not tell you what it's going to cost you by you going and following the lust or the picture of, that He has planted before you. And when I speak about lust, I'm not just talking about sexual. There's all different kinds of lust that the Bible is talking about. There's financial lust. There's money, if you'll have it. There's envy and strife. And there's all kinds of things that the devil... If we're not careful, we'll get caught up on his level. Folks, I want you to know that God has raised us to a higher standard. He's given us better things than what the devil is offering us. And children of God all around us is falling to the devices of the devil for these things, these pacifiers that he is offering, when God has already given us better things than what the devil is offering. Amen? The devil will come and offer you something that's not near as good as what God has already given you. If only we could get husbands and wives to see that. That God has already given you the best that He had picked out for you. People say, do you really believe that? I believe that. We're not together by chance, any of us. Amen? Because there's nobody that could put up with me for 33 plus years. If y'all won't confess, I will. Amen. It had to be of the Lord. People say, well, even we look around the church, we see people have been together a lot longer than that. Folks, the devil will try to tell us, any of us, amen? He might come to you and say, you could have done better. Don't listen to him. God gave you the best he had picked out for you. I believe that what God puts together, I still stand on the Word of God. And we talk about this because it is the most common form of failure of Christians is infidelity. I believe that with all of my heart to God. Infidelity that comes along. And people say, Pastor, I thought you was going to encourage us. I am. I'm going to open our eyes and get us to see that we've already got the best that there is. We ought not listen to the devil. He'll get us wanting everything in the world. If you look at that, and I said this a few weeks ago in a message, people all the way around me, my junkyard buddy, and I think even Jim has told me, but I know my junkyard buddy has, and a lot of people will tell you that what I need to do is get rid of my old truck and get another truck. Some of y'all see my old truck, and she ain't much. And if I start looking at all these new trucks, all these parking lots, before too long, I'm going to start wanting one of those more than I want anything else. Am I not? Because lust will set in. The devil will tell you you're all right. Go ahead, you work hard, you deserve to have that truck. What he don't tell you is the 7 years of payments that follow it. Amen? And that's just a small picture. God knows, I barely get by now. 7 more years of payments, I would be shipwrecked. And folks, the problem with that is, I wouldn't do anything different with that new truck than I do with my old truck. And after about 3 months, I'd give myself 3 months, the new truck would look just as bad or worse than the old truck. So what have I really gained? 7 years of payments. And I said 7 because they cost so much anymore, they don't even do. They do offer you 5 years, 4 years, 3 years. But if you really want to be able to get it down to where you can afford it, you got to go 7 years. And if I preach to anybody who's got 7 years of payments, God bless you. And may help you to get through it. But that's a small picture of what the devil or how the devil works. Yes, we're saved. But it's not a license to sin. And that's, if I would have a text, that's what it would be, not a license to sin. Because he says that we ought to have control over ourselves. How many of you, when you get mad, you've come to the point that you know this about yourself, the best thing you could do is just walk away. Before you say anything that you might regret in the future, the best thing to do is just walk away. Cool down and then come back and address the situation in a right manner. What we ought to do when the devil comes against us, first of all, we ought to remember whose we are. Second of all, before we act, you know, they tell us that in psychology, and other classes, they tell us and teach us that before you make any type of move in your life, that you ought to think about it for 2 to 3 days. Did you know even this is gone over into the business world, because if you buy a new car, if you buy a new house, if you buy a house, you have 3 business days in which to reverse the transaction and you not be financially responsible for the purchase of that home. Do you understand that tonight? So we see that it's gone over. Before we do anything, it's teaching us we ought to take time to think about it. And that's what the Word of God is saying. Before we do anything, you better think about who you belong to, the price that He paid for you, and the obligation we have as children of God, not just to God, but we have a responsibility to our church, and we have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters. People don't like to hear this kind of preaching, but it's true. I not only have a responsibility to God, but I have a responsibility to this church. Somebody help me. And not only do I have a responsibility to this church, but I have a responsibility to the deacons. And not only do I have a responsibility to the deacons, I have a responsibility to every lay member in this house. To everyone that attends the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church, I have a responsibility to them as well. My responsibility is this: I don't want to let God down. I don't want to let the church down, and I certainly don't want to let the deacons down, nor do I want to let the lay members down. And every time we listen to the devil, we're not just letting God down, we're letting down everybody else in our Christian life. People say, I didn't know that we went that far. It ought to break our hearts when one of our brothers or sisters yields to the devil. Does not James say that in His Word, that if we, or that we that are spiritual, if we see a brother or sister that has faltered, that has given in to the devil, we ought not, it doesn't tell us that we ought to kick them out, but it says that those that are spiritual ought to pray for them, lift them up, and restore them back in fellowship with God and with the church today. And if God restores them, folks, you and I have no fault in it. This is true. Because there's, how many of you tonight know that since we've been saved, we've already done enough to be kicked out of the church? Some of you don't want to confess. The Catholic Church calls it excommunicate. God just says that you ought to exclude them. There's probably very few people in the body of Christ that couldn't be excluded for the things that they have done since they've been saved. And I'm glad some of you shake heads, nodding yes with me tonight, because most people try to act like that they're all that. I want you to know that none of us is beyond sinning. Not a one of us. But the Bible says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. That we can go back and God, the same God that saved us, will forgive us and restore us back in fellowship unto God. He said, all going on to him, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness of sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Every one of us ought to remember that when the devil comes against us. You do not have dominion over me. You may have at once controlled my life, but I've got a new master. And I am not kept by you anymore. Neither do I need to yield myself unto you, but I yield myself unto God. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan, and to get thee from behind me, because I have places that God wants me to take, and I'm not going to allow the devil to stop the Lord from working in my life. I believe this with all my heart. The reason why most Christians never get to where God wants them to take is because they spend too much time yielding to the devil instead of yielding to God Himself. For sin shall not have dominion over you. If you do anything else, if you write in your Bibles like I do, I got a great big asterisk beside that. Because I need to remind myself. And I need to remind you that sin does not have dominion over us. How many of you know that you've been saved by God's grace? You've been saved by God's grace. You know who has dominion over you? God. He is your boss. He is the one that we ought to serve. And the devil come along and disguise himself. Has anybody else ever had the devil speak to you and you thought it was God? Some folks say, I don't know if I understand that question or not, Pastor. Let me tell you, the Bible says to try the spirits, for they are many. The one that you think of as of God could very well be the devil coming to tell you that it's all right. Anybody else ever had those lusts, those notions come in your mind, and you know it's wrong, but the devil says, it ain't that bad. It's all right, you can go ahead. I think about all of our churches today. And now I'm going to close in just a minute. I think about all of our churches that are changing to fit what the world wants instead of staying where God wants them to be. We could have growth by leaps and bounds. I believe it's on my heart. And I'm praying for growth, church. And I hope you're praying with me for that. And when I speak about growth, I'm talking about seeing people born again by the grace of God. We could have growth, though, that the world would look at and say, that church is really doing something right. If we had the right programs, and if we would just concede to some things that's in the Bible and in our church covenant. But when it comes to that, folks, I would rather be able to worship God with a few that know about the Spirit of God and how God moves than I had to be in a house full of hypocrites and not have any power whatsoever with God. That's why I believe with all my heart, and I'm not casting stones. God knows my heart tonight. But I believe that's why so many of these, it's not the preacher that excites them about going to church. It's the programs and the music that excites them to get them in there. And maybe even a coffee and a donut that gets them in there. It gets entertained. And once the entertainment gets old, you'll see them start dropping like flies. But where the righteous worship, there is freedom that we could come and be able to experience what God wants us to have and be able to walk away saying, I know that I've been to church tonight because God was there. He said, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. What he's saying to us, if we do sin, is anybody else sin since you've been saved, and the devil will come along and remind you of every wrong you've done? You know what the Bible says here under in this verse? Remind him that you're not under the law. The law said, he that sinneth must surely die. But we are under grace. Now that ought to make somebody want to shout or take a running spell. You know why? Because every time we sin, we're not under the law, we're not going to die, but we're under grace. Anybody say grace tonight? We're under grace. Grace says, even though you don't deserve it, I forgive you. Amen. That's what grace does for us. Even though you don't deserve it, I forgive you. He said, and a reminder to us, whoever we yield our members to, that's whose servant we are. I know people that are saved by God's grace, and I don't doubt their salvation. But right now, they are not serving the servant. They are the servant of a different God because they're not following God. They're not following the Spirit. And I have tried to talk to some of these folks in days past, and you know what they tell me? I know what the Lord put in my heart. I know how I feel. Folks, the devil will give them an entourage of words and of phrases to use, and there's no sense in us trying to argue with them. All we can do, and I got a brother that is in this situation, all I can do is, you know, and I know what is right and what is wrong, and it's not for me to cast judgment upon you, but you know what the Word says, and you better adhere to the Word of God, because otherwise, it's not me that will pay for the consequences, but it's you that will pay the consequences for not obeying God's Word. God's Word. And in effect, when I said that, it came to my mind, even though it may not affect me directly, every sin that no matter who it is in your life, when people in our lives commit sin, it affects all of us. It affects all of us. Can I put that in there tonight? It affects every one of us. No matter how big or how small, it affects us. Because now everybody is looking at them and saying, they must think it's all right. If people know that Jim is a deacon here at this church, and they see Jim doing those things, they say, it must be all right at Mount Carmel. It affects all of us. And then before you know it, it's throughout the community and throughout the tri-state area that Mount Carmel accepts that type of behavior. And folks, we have to be careful to protect our interest in this church. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Just because we're under grace doesn't mean that we can go out and just do whatever we want to. In fact, in closing, I want to say this. God, if you've been truly saved, God has changed your want to's. He'll change your want to's. I have preached this for many years. People say I'd get saved, but I'd have to give up too many things. God never told me I had to give up anything. All I had to worry about was finding an altar and asking for repentance. God would save me and He'd take care of the rest. How many did God change your desires after you got saved? He changed your want-tos. I do everything I want to. Amen. That's a broad statement. But I can say it because God changed my want-tos. In fact, I don't know of anywhere I'd rather be on a Sunday night than in the house of the Lord with my brothers and sisters, trying to draw strength from each other, trying to help each other, because we know that as soon as we walk out of this place, the devil is going to be coming against us, offering all kinds of things to us and our people, and we need to know how to ward him off against us and against our family. And there's many enticements the devil has. The old tricks he used to do, he's polished up on them, Larry Jones. He's got new tricks. You have to watch him. As Brother Eli used to testify here at the church, you have to watch the devil because he's a tricky character. Anybody else remember Brother Eli saying that here at the church? I know he's here. But you got to watch him, because he doesn't come in the same way every time. He'll learn where your defense is, and when he knows that you're not going to accept that, he'll come in a different route. But regardless how he comes, look around tonight, if you would, while I close. Look around at all these people here. Look them straight in the eyeballs. I believe in looking in the eyeballs. You have a responsibility to every one of these. You have a responsibility to this church, and we have a responsibility to God, that we cannot let each other down by falling for the devices that the devil has got. We have to be careful, watchful. And sometimes the preacher has to get up and sound the alarm because we see the enemy approaching in the horizon. And it's the duty of the preacher to sound the alarm and let God's people know that trouble is coming. And tonight I'm telling you, trouble's coming. The devil is working. How many of you know lives that has been changed by the devil? They've been changed by the devil. And you know what? The devil will not show them the consequences of their sin. How that their lives just will. And I know that this is the truth. And then I'll close while Robin Sharon gets us a song. The devil will show them one thing to get their attention, but he won't show them everything they're going to lose in order to have that. And I said it here a few months ago, maybe a year ago as well, that the devil has nothing to offer me that's worth me losing my relationship with God. Nothing. Before I dishonor the name of my Lord, and this is a broad statement, because I have let him down, I have failed him miserably over the years. But before I bring his name to open reproach, my prayer is, God, just take me out. I'd rather be 6 foot under than I had to be a reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. And people say that's a broad statement. Well, Let's think about what's at risk here. What's at risk is that people look at our lives and say everything they stood for, they've turned their back on. I know that Brother Holcomb has testified, and you know people like this as well, preachers and pastors that preach for years. And then all of a sudden the devil brought something in their eye that they had to have. And they quit preaching and they started running after that which the devil had brought. Let me tell you, there's no job. And I think that God knows my heart when I say that. Because I could go to other parts of the country and get a job. But there is nowhere that the devil offers to take me that's worth me losing what God has already given me. Amen? And I'm not bragging on Roger. I'm not. But I could go and I could make a lot more money if I went to those other places. But you know what I'd be giving up? My family. And as much as I love y'all, you know what I'd be giving up even more? The calling that God has upon my life. And I don't care how much you make. It won't replace that emptiness that's there because of God. You letting Him down. And folks, it's not just that. There's no house that's worth my relationship with. There's no car that's worth my relationship. People at work and people that I know, Brandon was laughing at me the other day, and Tiffany especially was laughing at me. Because I told him the story about that, how I had that old truck that didn't even have a seat in it, didn't have a back window in it. Some of y'all remember this story? It was a chicken coop. And I needed a way of transportation, and Dad said, I got you a truck, and he told me what it was. And how many of you like me, it always looks better in your mind than when you get there and see it? And it was a chicken coop, and so he drug the front seat out of it. I put a piece of cardboard over the back window, and I used a concrete block as my front seat for a couple months until I could save up the money to go to the junkyard and get a seat and get a back window and put it in. And it was wintertime. Tiffany said, you're lying, Dad. She said, there's no way you drove a truck sitting on a concrete block. I said, yes, I did. Folks, it don't matter to me what I drive. As long as it runs, and this time of year, as long as it's got heat. People say, what about air conditioning? I could roll the windows down. When it gets cold outside, I need some heat. There is nothing worth us losing our relationship with God. And people say, well, it'll be all right if we can just make it just a few more days. If we can make it, and by helping each other. Because you see, I said I have a responsibility to God and I have a responsibility to this church. I have a responsibility to you individually. And you have a responsibility to us individually. To us, all of us. But I tell you this. It's just like my natural family. As bad as some of them are, I'd still fight tooth and nail for them, Sister Ruby. And when it comes to my church, where God has placed us, I'd fight for you tooth and nail. And how it break our hearts when people allow the devil to take control of their life. And folks, we need to watch out for each other. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. Tonight, we need to pray. God, just give us the strength that we can ward off the devil when he comes. All the passion, all the lust and desires that he brings to us. Help us, Lord, that we would be able to remember that we are a servant unto you and not unto that rascal. Surrender it all to God tonight. Surrender it all to Him. Yes. All of us tonight. Yes. Another verse, Rob, if you would, while Brother Eli comes. Others that need to come. Folks, we're not that strong without the help of the Lord. Some folks might think, well, you preachers make it sound so easy. No. We all have to work at defending or fending off the devil. Because he'll put those things in our eyes and in our minds. And we have to remind him, devil, it's not worth what you're offering. It's not worth it tonight. Yes, I surrender it all to the devil, that he has no power over me. I have to remind him often that I belong to Jesus Christ. He knows it. Does he not? He already knows that. He knew Jesus was the Christ child when he came in the manger. But still, he broke out a war to try to find him that he might kill him. He knew who he was. He knows who you are. He knows that we belong to God. And I believe every time we mess up, he just sits back and laughs at what he's caused us to do, because he knows he's got us in trouble. But folks, we don't have to stay in trouble, because we can go right back to the same God that saved us. And God said that he would forgive us if we would just come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. God would forgive us. And that's where we get the bad name, that we can just do anything. But folks, you can't come back to God just anytime. It takes the drawing power, the Spirit sending out that invitation to you, that you can come back home and get right with the Lord. God bless you. I pray that you got something from the message tonight, something from the Word that will help us all. Because people, we all know, we're all flesh, every one of us. There's not a one of us that's above anybody else. We're all weak. And the devil knows. How many of you know tonight in closing that God, that the devil knows your weaknesses? Look at Samson, how strong he was. But the devil knew his weaknesses. People say, where was he weak at? The devil had a weakness for Delilah. And the devil knew this. Now, I'm not blaming Delilah. I said he had a weakness for Delilah. Whatever your weakness is, that's where the devil's going to hit you. And drive that nail home tonight. God bless you. Hope you got something from the message again. We're going to go to business meeting.